You have your Bible this morning, we'll turn to 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. We'll begin reading at verse number 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 12. And the Bible says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command a locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open, and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually." I want to preach on this just a few minutes today, this being Memorial Day, on a memorial. A memorial. What is a memorial? That's something that's set forth that will preserve the memory of something. That's what a memorial is. It's something that's set forth to preserve the memory of something. As we look at this here, we see Solomon. You know this story. Solomon had built the house of God because that was David's desire. But God said, "No, I can't let you build it because you got blood on your hands." He said, "That won't happen." But said, "You can get the materials together and we'll let Solomon build it." And so Solomon built this magnificent house of God. And he dedicates that house and he prays over it. And he prays and asks God to move in. Of course, in chapter 6, end of verse, said that God moved in. He filled the house, praise God. And chapter number 7, that the Lord of glory, the glory of the Lord filled that house. Amen. That's what we need today in our live. We need the glory of God to fill the house again. Praise God. Where we're at, we ought to come looking for Him. You see that they begin to pray, and on the eighth day, they made a solemn assembly. Now that number eight is the number of new beginnings. Amen. The number 8 is the number of new beginnings. So he's then on the eighth day, they made a solemn assembly. They come to God and they begin to magnify Him. They lift Him out, and he had finished the house of God. King Solomon had, and God pulls up on the scene. Praise God! He begins to expand to Solomon how to keep this thing going. God said, "If you want this to be a memorial, if you want to establish this as something that people will memorialize, that they'll remember," he said, "then there's some things you got to do." Now, he said, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves." I want to say the I depends on, it hinges on the if. If we begin to, if the people begin to call upon God, praise God, then He can begin to do His things that He needs to do. And that's what makes a Memorial Day, helping us to do the things that will be a memorial, something that will be left behind, something that we can remember something by. Amen. I don't know about you, I don't want to be remembered for anything that I've ever done except for being a child of God. I want to be remembered because I love Jesus, because He first loved me. Amen. So I just want to see that. But see, we got to be careful, because what God's talking about here, He's talking about when we get into a spirit of decline. Amen. And I'm afraid in the world, in America especially, we are in a spirit of decline. Amen. We have evidence of a spirit of decline in the world today. You say, what is that? Praise God. We see attendance dropping off in the churches. We see churches that used to be full of God, they're full of people, but now people have went their way. The churches are emptying out. He said, "Well, preacher, I just don't feel like I just need to belong there anymore. Something this and some that." We make excuses. But the reason is, we don't come to get in, praise God, we come to get out. Amen? We ought to be establishing ourselves as a memorial so that some people can look at us long down the road. Like these little youngins can see our lives. One day they can say such and such. I pray God, they was a faithful person to the house of God. They were faithful to the house of God. They were faithful to the things of God. They were faithful to the good God of glory. Amen. I could look at their life. I could see them. They was faithful all the way to the end. They never died. They never gave up. They never got in. But we're in a spiritual decline today. The attendance has dropped off. We're in a decline because of biblical knowledge. Amen? Biblical knowledge isn't what it used to be. Praise God, we need it. It's faded out. The biblical knowledge is fading away. Amen? And we're so entertained that we don't have a desire for spiritual wisdom. We don't have a desire for the knowledge of God. Our morals has crept away. Amen? Our morals has slid out the back door. Glory to God. We even become to the point of, because of our spiritual knowledge, that we question morality. Things that we used to be steadfast in, Brother Bobby, that we knew for a certain that this is what God says, and we're going to stand upon it. If we ain't careful, we let that slip. We let it fall back. It doesn't have that significance as it used to. Because the Bible just, our biblical knowledge is not what it used to be. We got people growing up all around us in our communities that don't know nothing. They don't even know who Jesus Christ is. To our shame, they don't know who Jesus is. There should never be a time when people in our community don't know who Jesus is. Amen? But we're seeing it. The reason we don't have a memorial, praise God, in our Christian lives is because we're letting some things slide. We're in spiritual decline. Amen? We're in spiritual decline. We're falling back. Christians are being persecuted for holy living. Amen? For trying to live right. Establishing the long-lasting truths that we've always had in our Christian faith. And we're letting those slide because people say, well, you just got to kind of get with the program. I told you before, people have told me, say, if you'll just slip back a little bit, if you'll just allow more things to come in. I'll tell you, you don't have to allow them to come in. They'll sneak in on you. We got to be careful because they'll sneak in on us. They'll overtake us. They'll destroy us. But we got to be founding in the faith, Lord Jesus Christ. We got to have that as our main priority, and God will work out all the rest. Amen. The Bible says in the volume of the book, it's written of Him. We just need to stay in the book. Amen. We just need to stay with what God says. Because God says when the turbulence comes in your life, when God says, I have to send trials upon you to separate you out. Hello? Do you ever realize God, sends trials down upon us to separate us out, to divide us from the chaff from the wheat? Amen. To get us to the place where we can realize what God, who He is and what He wants to do to us. But we're getting away from the truth. Culture is moving rapidly. Amen. It's amazing what it's become in my lifetime. We're going to, in just a couple of months, we're going to celebrate 250 years as a nation. And me talking about it coming up the road, me and my wife, it's hard to imagine 250 years, but 250 years now, at my age, 250 years don't seem like a whole lot of time. Amen? We're just a little baby in this thing. 250 years, that ain't very much at all. Amen. Praise God. Listen, when you think of people living to 80, 90, 100 years old now, 250 years, it's just a drop in the bucket. But look at the generations have come. But look how much we've changed. Look how much our culture has evolved into what it is today. Amen? We're seeing it right before our very eyes. And we're seeing it slip in, praise God, in our morals, our convictions. We're seeing culture changing in a rapid fashion that dishonors God. Hello? We got to be mindful of that, church. If we're going to have a memorial, if we're going to have something we can stand upon, that we can build upon, that our children, our children's children can look back on and say, glory to God, this was what faith was. But we're going to have to stand upon what's true. We're going to stand upon the precious Word of God. But there's a lot of evidence today of spiritual decline. And God said, I'll have to deal with that. He said, Solomon, he said, since your heart's right, since you're trying to do right, as long as you'll stay faithful, he said, when I have to bring down these complications on life, when I have to close up heaven, there'll be no rain, I have to command the locusts to devour land, I have to send pestilence among my people. Amen? You're a preacher, I just don't think God do that to His people. He said He did. He said He would. God will get our attention. He will do whatever He needs to do to get our attention. And it's like it's always been said so many times, there's so many different people in this church, I pray God, that God had to get your attention. Amen. But praise God. I thank God for a memorial. We can stand up and realize that the God that got our attention was the God that we love and we serve, and we repent of our sin and our slothfulness, and we get back in there and say, Lord, help me again. Revive me again, oh God. Put that spirit down in me. Touch me with your sweet Holy Spirit down in my soul and give me the guidance to do right and talk right and act right and love right. Amen. That's what God wants to do. We have evidence of a spiritual decline. We also have evidence of a memorial, a remembrance. Amen. It always occurs. It seems like it always occurs in darker times. Dark times have a tendency to get your attention. Amen. In the darkness. Remember when Israel was taken in captivity? We see over in Judges chapter number 3 that they cried out. It wasn't in a time of comfort. Amen. But it was a time of distress. And they was taken in captivity and said the people began to cry out to God. In Judges chapter 3, verse number 9, said God sent them that first prophet, that first man, that first judge, that first leader, that first guide to the people. Off the hill, he sent him, praise God, that he would lead the people, he'd lead them out, he'd help them to stand strong and keep their head up and keep focused and keep going in the wrong direction and in the right direction and keep them from the wrong direction and keep our eyes on the Lord. Amen. It wasn't in easy times. It was in difficult times. But difficult times have a tendency to get us to calling on the Lord. God gets our attention, praise God, to where we get to the point we can't trust in self no more. We can't trust in our neighbor no more. Can't trust in people around us more. We have to trust in the Lord. So what do? We call on Him. Amen. Because He said, if my people call my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Amen. He said, hey, let's I can establish a memorial in your life. There's evidence of moral, a remembrance. And it comes in difficult times. When the church is under pressure, amen. When church is under pressure, praise God, people begin to call upon God and it establishes a memorial for God. Remember over in Acts chapter number 8, Acts chapter number 8, verses 1 through 4, where Paul was, or Saul was, he was just a raving lunatic. And he was persecuting the churches. He was beating them down. I believe old Saul was under Holy Ghost conviction. He had done been there. He had been consenting at the death of Stephen, where he held their coats while they stoned Stephen to death, while he was looking up into glory. Praise God. God opened up the heavens and Lord Jesus Christ stood up there to receive old Stephen up into glory. Praise God. You see him as they're rocking him to sleep. I said they were rocking him to sleep. Old Stephen, he said, don't lay this on their charge, Lord. And old Saul got to look up there and he saw Stephen sat at the right hand of God. The Lord sat at the right hand of God. Stephen's faith, praise God, illuminated. Glory, hallelujah, can you see it? And the power of God all over him. Praise his holy name. And Lord Jesus just reached out and plucked him out of there. And old Saul looked down, he looked up there and he saw that taking place in his spirit, praise God. He wasn't an ignorant man. He knew the word. He knew the law, praise God. He knew what the blessed word of God said and what it taught. And he knew who Jesus was. He knew about a promised Messiah, praise the Lord. And he comes in Acts 8, he comes in there as a raving lunatic. I believe he is under so much Holy Ghost conviction. Let me tell you something, friend. Listen to me. Holy Ghost conviction will make you crazy. Amen. Holy Ghost conviction will run you out of your mind. Amen. Because it's God loving you. He's pouring out that love so much. He's telling how much He loves you. He's trying to convict you of your ways, of the badness of them and the goodness of His. Amen. It'll make you crazy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. Praise God. Hey, listen, the Holy Ghost speaks to you. Well, preacher, God, the Holy Ghost don't ever convict me, but then you're not His. He said, well, the conviction of the Holy Ghost, God said, you're a bastard, not son. He said, you're illegitimate. Amen. That's why so many people are doing so many things, praise God. They're not part of the memorial. They're not part of what God has laid out for us. They're not part of this remembrance. Because if you're part of this remembrance, praise God, even during persecution, you just praise and give God glory. You get down there in Acts chapter number 8, I'm going to do it save time, but you get down to Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 4, praise God. He said the people were persecuted, they were dispersed, but they were preaching the gospel. Amen. They were run out there, they were beat down, they were prosecuted, but they were preaching the gospel. Everywhere they went, they'd say, what's wrong with you? Why are you upset? What's going on in your life? Why are you down here? Say, for preaching the gospel, telling people about Jesus. Amen. The most magnificent thing that's ever happened to the world was the Lord Jesus. Amen. Since Saul of Tarsus don't like you, come with letters, but praise God, we're just preaching Jesus. Amen. Praise God in the church. It grows when it's under pressure. Amen. We'll grow spiritually when we're under pressure. I can talk to any of you in here. How many's ever taught Sunday school? Raise your hand if you've ever taught Sunday school. Amen. When we ask you to teach Sunday, when you ask to teach Sunday, didn't it put you under some pressure? Huh? Come on, be honest. It puts you under some pressure. Amen. You had to get in there and you had to study. You had to begin to look a little bit. You had to begin to think a little bit. And you had to pray a lot. Amen. Amen. Come on now. You had to pray a lot. You had to start seeking the will of God. Start seeking direction from Him. When you get under the pressure, that's when we do the best as the children of God. Praise God. The pressure. Because it's like being in a pressure cooker. But you know what happens? I found out a while back at that Kentucky Fried Chicken. The reason they make it so good and they can put it out there in such a good way and it be so good, pray God they put it in a pressure cooker. Amen. Amen. Colonel Sanders was trying to figure it out and he had it set up on the side of the road and he was making chicken. Both people was loving it. They was devouring it. But while they was getting gas, he couldn't cook it fast enough. Amen. So he wanted something really good and had to come out quick, praise God. So he figured out, put it in a pressure cooker. After he seasoned it with them lovely seasons 7 times. Amen. Glory to God. Amen, Lord. Thank you. Are we ready to go home? But when you get in that pressure cooker, praise God, you begin to realize that the pressure's on. But you don't trust in yourself. You trust in Him. Amen. He runs you through that pressure cooker, but boy, when you come out the other side, glory, hallelujah, it's some tasty goodness I come out in you, praise the Lord. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Ain't that something? He brings you through the pressure, but He brings you out, praise God, for His glory. When the disciples got over there in Acts chapter number 8, where He's speaking to them, praise God, when they come out of that pressure cooker, and God Almighty was blessing them. You know, when people got under the pressure, praise God, and they couldn't make a decision for themselves. They was trying to figure out what was going on. They were being persecuted on every hand. They were in that pressure cooker. Praise God. God brought them out to the side, and they come out over there just shouting and praising and giving God the glory. Bet you know, God, the little fellow, my name of Philip, he comes out of there just praising God, giving him glory he deserved, and people got to listening, and boy, they just got the flocking around him. Holy Ghost revival broke out down in Samaria. Amen. People's wanting in, even the old witches and all that mess was wanting to get something that God had. They had their witchcraft and their sorcery, praise God. They said it wasn't nothing compared to what God was passing out. Amen. Praise the Lord. What a blessing that is. Amen. Greatest thing comes when we're under pressure. When we feel at our weakest, that's when He's strong. Amen. Then Paul said, just a little while later, Paul would say this. Let me just go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 7. No, Paul, he had done went up and God raised him up and he'd give just a little peek over in glory. He said, whether I was in the flesh or not, in the body or not the body, he said, I don't know. But he said, I seen things, praise God, that was so glorious I couldn't even tell it. Amen. Verse number 7, he said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. That's the revealings that God revealed to him. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. He said, Lord, I would that you'd get rid of this thorn. This thorn in my flesh, this hindrance, this is holding me back, this is oppressing me. Amen. Most of us just quit and go to the house and say, well, the Lord don't want me to do this. Hello? Come on now. Amen? But Paul didn't. He just kept praying. He said, Lord, you got to do something for me. Amen. Verse number 9, watch what he says. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now watch this, verse number 10. He says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, he said, then am I strong. Amen. He said, praise God. He said, I go through these things. These are part of my life. These are who I am. But praise God, God is there with me. And when I'm weak, when my infirmity, weakness of my flesh, weakness and lack of strength, he said, God Almighty overcomes that. God overpowers that. And he gives me the victory. God gives, he affords me the victory. He said, I don't get down about it. Praise God. He said, I just pray. Hey, when I go through these things, have you went through anything lately? Amen. Persecution, trials, hardships, difficulties. Amen. Glory be to God. Paul said, hey, listen, I just glory in those. Amen. Pray God, thinking that, that I am worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Get the victory out of it. It's when we are at our weakest. The evidence of more is when we're weak, praise God, but yet we press on for the cause of Christ. We don't give up and we don't give in. Why? Because that's a evidence of our faithfulness. Our faithfulness unto the Lord. Amen. Look at Psalms chapter 78. Psalms chapter 78. Psalms chapter 78, it says this, verse number 1. He said, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. God says, I'm not going to tell you anything new. He says, I'm just going to tell you what you should already know. Amen? Verse number 4, he says, I will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Hello? Verse number 7. No, verse number 6. He said that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, which should arise and declare them, watch this, to their children. Amen? How bad are we failing in this? The evidence of a memorial. Do we have one? Verse number 7. He said that they might set their hope in God. Now he's talking about the children, the children's children, the grandchildren. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. Hello? A generation that set not their hearts aright, and whose spirit is not steadfast with God. Boy, we're slipping off that way, ain't we? We got a whole nation that's forgot God. We got half the people in the United States of America that don't want godliness. They don't want you to admit it. We got to have separation of church and state. That's what they say. We got to have separation of church and state. Amen. So and then they take that separation and they flip flop it on us. See, the separation of church and state was supposed to keep the state from telling the church what it can do. Hello? It wasn't supposed to be the other way around. But they flipped it on us and they used it against us. Well, you can't bring the church in the political thing. You can't bring the church in the government. You can't bring church in the state things. Amen. You absolutely can. We've got to. Without God, without a higher power, praise God, we don't have no authority. Hello? I said, without God, we have no authority, no real authority. Amen. He said, we got to have that authority. We got to have that power from God. Amen. We got to ask ourselves, will this generation be faithful to God? Amen. The generation that we're living in right now, will it be faithful to God? Amen. Will we be faithful to God where He put us? Amen. Will we be faithful to Him where He put us? Striving to bring glory and honor to His name. There's a reason that you are where you are. Amen. I don't think God makes any mistakes. I don't think there's any oops with God. Hello? We are where we are, praise God. But what are we going to do there? The reason you are. Reason you're here. Reason you're here now. Amen. I think about that. I thought about Esther. Esther over in chapter 4 and verse 14. Remember that they brought her in, and she was a Jew, and they brought her in into the kingdom. And Artaxerxes took her as his wife, chose her. She was a wonderful, beautiful lady. I think it wasn't so much the outside, it was the inside that was good. Amen. She was beautiful on the inside. Amen. I'd rather have somebody that was ugly on the outside and beautiful on the inside. Amen. Glory to God. That'd make a difference. Old fella said one time, he said, hey, listen, said, you want a good woman? Said, get to your finest, ugliest woman you can find. It's got a good heart. Amen. Said, she'll be faithful to you and you'll be faithful to us and you'll get along. Amen. I don't know about all that. But praise God, you get one that's got a wicked and a vile heart, praise God, you'll have trouble living on. It'd be better to live, the Bible said, it'd be better to live on a roof and in a house with a brawling woman. Amen. I don't know where I went, where I come from, but thank you, Lord. Amen. Struggles that we have. Amen. But a generation, where we're at, what God can do for us. Amen. And Mordecai sent her letter, and he wrote her back. He said in Esther chapter 4, verse 14, he said, who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Hey, we may be right where we are because such a time as this, because the day and hour we're living in, because what God wants to do right now. Amen. We get caught up sometimes and think about, well, what God's going to do in the future. And we've got a bright future ahead of us. We've got a blessed future. Amen. We've got a blessed future. But praise God, what God wants to do right now is important because we got to establish that memorial. That remembrance, praise God, of who God is and what He wants to do in our lives. At such a time as this right now, that God can use us. Amen. That evidence of faithfulness. The evidence of a memorial that God gives us. So what is God asking of us? What is He asking of you and I? He said, my people to call by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. He said, that's what God's asking from us. Just to do right and do it right now. He said, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Mine eyes shall be opened, mine ears attended to the prayer that is made in this place. So God said, hey, listen, if you'll do that, said, I'm going to start listening to you. I'm going to hear from you and pray. I'm going to move upon what you said. So what does God ask of us? He asks us to be obedient. Amen. To be obedient to Him. He said in Matthew chapter number 5, he said, we're supposed to be salt and light. He said, we're supposed to be seasoning. Hello? That's what salt is. It's seasoning. He said, we ought to be seasoning everything better with a little salt on it, right? Amen. I was talking to a fellow the other day, and he struggles with blood pressure and all kinds of stuff, and he's a big old fella. And he said, the doctors are getting on me except my blood pressure and stuff. And he says, I need to lay off the salt. I said, well, do you do a lot of salt? He said, I put salt on everything. He said, I put salt on watermelon. I put it on cantaloupe. I put it on my food. I mean, I put it on everything. I said, well, lay off the salt. He said, I just can't do it. He said, I got to have salt. Amen. He's got to have that seasoning. He said, just makes everything taste better. Amen. Hey, we got to have a little seasoning, praise God. Our life has to be seasoned with the Holy Spirit so that we'll taste a little better, look a little better, and be a little better in the eyes of God. Amen. He said, we got to be that light. That light in the world, praise God, that people can see. Amen. That light that shines forth into the darkness of the world. So you give people a little seasoning, they make things better, taste better, look better, praise God. And you get it'll even make things smell better. So if you salt something down, praise God, good, it'll keep it from rotting. Amen. You ever eat salt pork? Amen. That'll make your blood pressure go outside. Boy, it's good. Then you salt it down, it keeps the flies, bro. It keeps the bacteria from growing in it. Amen. He said we need to be something that'll keep bacteria, keep the vile stuff from getting into our people. He said, we need to be a light so they can see their way to Christ. Amen. But he also said we'll need to speak the truth in love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. We need to speak the truth in love. What's wrong with telling the truth? Now, I'm not talking about just going around and telling little old white lies. That's what people call them. That's what they call them now. They're just white lies, preacher. White lies. I guess that's like the cowboy with the white hat. He's the good guy. The white lies are the good lies. You know, you say to keep yourself out of trouble. How do I look in this dress, honey? Oh, you look lovely, dear. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We do it. He said we're supposed to speak the truth in love. In other words, when it comes to biblical things, he said we're supposed to stand upon our principles. We're supposed to say this, well, you know, I know what it says. I know what the world's going. I know how the world's going. I know how culture wants to go. But this is what God says. So we got to stand upon what he says. Amen. That's what makes the difference. And said, but we do it in love. We speak the truth in love. I told you, Brother R.A. White told me one time, a fellow told me, said, preacher, there's things in this King James Bible that you just can't preach. Said, if you preach it, you'll lose your congregation, you'll lose the people. And next time I saw Brother R.A., I said, Brother White, I said, I want to ask you a question. I said, there's no preacher told me the other day that there's some things in this blessed old King James Bible that you just can't preach. You need to leave them alone. If you preach them, you're going to run off your people. You won't have a congregation. And he said, he put his arm around him, he patted his old Bible. He said, son, this old black back Bible. Said, you can preach anything in it. You can preach everything in it as long as you preach it with a heart of love. Amen. Preach it with a heart of love. He said, they'll stay right in there with you. They'll confess their sins and they'll get right with God. Amen. If they're children, if they're people that love God. If not, they'll go out with conviction, praise God. The Holy Ghost, God, get them back where they need to be. But he said, in order to have a memorial, praise God, we got to have faith, but we've got to speak the truth in love. Amen. Praise God. We've got to speak up. Hello? We got to speak up even when it's when they would say it'd be better to be quiet. You know, sometimes when people say, you just be quiet. Don't mention anything about the Lord. I've even had a time to say, hey, listen, we want you to pray, but don't pray in the name of Jesus. I said, well, you don't want me to pray then. Amen. Because I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus, praise God. Because that's the only way, the Bible says that's the only way we'll get a prayer through. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. But the world tell you just to be quiet. Think that what they told the disciples. Disciples over in Acts chapter number 4. Let me just give you this example. Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 19. He said, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, well, they said, in verse number 18, he said, they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Amen? Sometimes the world wants us to just be quiet. They don't want us to speak up, praise God. They say it's just better to be quiet, not to say nothing at all. But we need to stand up, praise God, and we need to speak the truth as long as we do it in love. Amen? We got to speak the truth, praise God. People will know the truth. Amen? Praise God. We got to pray. That's what God expects. He expects us to pray. Amen? To pray when it seems like the answers are far away. We pray and it seems like God's not, like the heavens are shut and God's not a hearing, God's not a answering. But he said we still got to pray. Amen? We got to just keep praying. He said in Luke chapter 18, verse number 1, he said men ought always to pray and not to faint. So what we ought to be doing to establish more, we got to keep praying. Amen. Even when it says that our prayers is out there, they're not being answered, but we just keep praying. If you just keep praying, God will answer your prayers. It's in His time. Amen. It may take 20 years. I told you I had a cousin prayed for over 20 years before he finally got saved. Glory to God. Got birthed into the family of God. But he said, but he got born again. But he said, we can't faint. We can't give up. We can't give in. Because we're trying to establish a memorial. Praise God. Amen. He said, what else? We got to love each other when they're angry. When the whole world is angry around us, we got to love them. How can we change it? How can you dissipate anger with love? Amen? With love. If you show a loving spirit, it's hard for somebody to stay mad at you. Amen? Now, if you fly mad too, then you're just going to have two mad spirits and they ain't never going to come together. So you've got to come together. You've got to have that loving spirit. When the world is raging, when the world is mad. The Lord talked about this over in Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5, verse 44. He said, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Boy, that's a big pill to swallow. He said, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. That's who God is. He loves those that are doing things contradictory to Him. I'm glad He does, or He'd never love me enough to convict my sin and save me by His marvelous grace. He said, for if we love them which if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans the same? Say, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. He said, we should have that perfect love. We should love those that, praise God, that detest and hate us. We should love them, amen. Praise God. That's how you love them to Jesus, and then they'll switch sides. And we'll be on the winning side together. He said, the Lord says, that's what we've got to do. That's how you create a memorial. Amen. When they lay you out here and they ask you to do it, say a word or two over, say, well, let me just tell you that they loved everybody. Amen. I've done funerals for people and I can just say they loved everybody. They loved everyone. They cared for everyone. They had compassion on people. Glory to God. That's a memorial we can have. Amen. If we're going to do what God wants us, what He asks of us, He said we need to be obedient. Obedient to Lord Jesus Christ at all costs. Even if it's going to cost us, we still got to be obedient to the Lord. Jesus said in John 14:15, He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, if you love me, do what I tell you. Amen. If we're going to establish and have a memorial, we got to do what God says. Amen? We got to figure it out. We got to take time. We got to figure it out. We got to get where God have us to be so that we can be what God have us to be. Amen? So we can finish well. So that we can establish that memorial for ourselves. Every one of us are, as Brother Fender was talking about a few weeks ago when he's gone. He said, we're everyone writing a book. Amen? You're writing a book. I'm writing a book. Every day is a page of our book. Amen. What kind of memorial are we going to have in our book? What's it going to show up? What's it going to look like when it's all finished? When the Lord prayed, He said, hey, listen, He keeps perfect records of everything that we do. He writes it all down. Amen. We say, yeah, Lord, but I didn't do this. He said, wait a minute, right here on page 717,999,000,000. He said, right here is the day you done that. Amen. You're going to lay it right out there. He said, but what we do, praise God, to establish a memorial, we got to be obedient to the Lord. We got to seek to do it. It's hard to do. It's hard to do the things that, praise God, that we know is pleasing God. But as God reveals them to us, as He shows them to us, we just need to fall in line with Him. Because when it's all said and done, we want to have a good memorial. Something that God can get glory out of. Something that we can lift up to Him, praise God. Because He tells us here in 2 Chronicles 7 that He wants to be pleased in it. Verse number 15 says, now my eyes shall be opened and mine ears attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place. Lord said, hey, listen, you know what He's saying? He said, I'm here to help you. He said, I'm listening. He said, I'm paying attention. He said, if you'll just confide in me. Amen. Said, you want to have a good memorial. You want to have a place, praise God, where God can get reverence and God can get glory out of. The Bible says, you know, we are the temple of God, whose temple you are. Amen? We are the temple of God. Because he says in verse 16, now listen to what he says. He said, for now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. He said, I sanctified this house. Amen? This is New Testament. This is where he dwells now. This is where God dwells now. Amen? And he said, I've sanctified. He said, this is a chosen and sanctified this house, a place for me to live in. He said, I want you to be a memorial to me, that when they see you, amen, people will see you and they'll be excited about you. They'll see your smiling face. You know, you have to take that frown and turn it upside down. They smile, a smiling face. Amen? They'll see your smiling face. They'll see the glow. They'll see the love of Christ in your heart. Amen? You'll be a living memorial to Jesus Christ, your Savior. Amen? And Jesus said, if my people which call by my name will humble themselves and pray, amen, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, just do right. Amen? Realize that right's right and wrong's wrong. Amen? The things that was wrong in past decades, praise God, is wrong now. The things that's right now is right. And that's God. He ain't changed his mind. We shouldn't either. Amen? Because we should be trying to preserve a memorial. Amen? A place, praise God, a memory of something. Amen? We ought to give a memory to our people. Listen, mamas and papas, mamas and daddies. You ought to be setting up a memorial in your life that your kids can say that, man, mama loved Jesus. Daddy loved Jesus. Mama and papa loved Jesus. They loved him with all their heart. They served him. They was obedient to him, praise God. And God loved them, praise God. And he helped them and he blessed them. Amen. And they loved him all the days of their life, praise God. And God took care of them. He preserved them. He offered that a perpetual life, a perpetual goodness and walk with God. That constant guidance and leadership from the throne room of grace. A memorial. Amen. Do you have a memorial today? Are you building you a memorial? If you are, who are you building it to? See, we're either serving one or the other. We're serving Lord Jesus Christ and building a memorial for Him, or we're building a memorial for this whole world and the devil, the prince and power of this present world we live in. Amen. I don't want to give the devil no due. I don't want to give him a memorial. I want to give Jesus a memorial, a place, praise God, where He can be magnified and glorified, where He can get the glory that He deserves. Amen. And start with me. Praise the Lord. Are you a memorial today? Memorial to Christ? Memorial to the Lord? Amen. A lot of things that keep us from being that today. People's going away and falling aside and falling into apostasy, going in different directions. A lot of people have heard about Christ and know who He is, but we don't have Him in our hearts. The Bible says you must be born again. Amen. You got to be born from above, the Word and the Spirit move into your heart and show you you're no sinner. You have to ask God to forgive you of those sins and forgive Him and invite Him into your heart. Have the Holy Spirit living in you. Teaches you good from bad and shows you the error of your ways and the goodness of His. Amen. That's how you start. That's how you build a memorial. Something that God can get glory out of.